Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. I've got a special guest, Robert Stanley.
Hey, how's it going?
Robert's going to give us a rundown of the recent Vassal tournament he competed in. Spoiler alert, Robert's super good.
Unless you watch my matches.
No. Watching your matches, we know you are both lucky and good.
There we go.
So there you go.
There we go.
That's what it takes. I'd rather be lucky than good.
Oh,
someone has
yeah.
told me that.
Oh, heck yeah.
And Robert is both lucky and good. So there you go. Just a few quick housekeeping items. First off, we want to invite everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. And also, if you care to support us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. We'd appreciate any support you can get. The only news we've got as of now is that FFG dropped a very, anticlimactic FAQ this morning. It was, we've all been expecting the Ugnaught nerf or
not
something.
Not meet expectations.
It did not meet expectations. There was pretty much the only, there's a few things that, a few rulings that came out that were different from previous rulings. Robert maybe could talk about one of them.
It's just a minor one. It just was basically before it was able to be used at the beginning or end of round activations, mini activations, things like Han's attack or Call the Vanguard specifically from my last match. And they've now ruled that it can only be used during an actual activation. Not necessarily that figure's activation, but during an activation.
And there was that. And I think they nerfed Dracada's collateral, not Dracada's, but heavy weapons, a collateral blast. There were just a few things that went out, nothing too major. I'll put a link up to it in the show notes, but it did not meet expectations, as Robert said. So
especially when we're all waiting for an article too, man. Come on, tell us when these Death Troopers are coming out.
I know these Death Troopers, and you know what? I hate to be the one to break this to you, FFG, but Legion's gonna suck, and you're gonna really wish that you had released all of your Imperial Assault stuff earlier. But
yep,
okay,
agreed.
Before I get on a rant. Let's turn it over to Robert. He's going to tell us about the Vassal tournament that he was in and how he did.
Sweet. So the tournament was called No Mirrors. It was kind of an interesting one because instead of just choosing a list you ran through the whole time, everybody chose three lists. You could split it up, I think, however you wanted, but pretty much everybody chose one. You had to have at least two different factions, but I think most people chose one Imperial, one Rebel, one Mercenary. And so the way it ended up working was that at the beginning of the match, before anything else started, you would roll for initiative. And whoever got initiative would get to choose their list first. And then the other person would have to choose one of the other two factions. So you could never mix and match factions. So that's why it was the no mirrors. You didn't want any mirror matchups or anything like that. So basically, you chose one of your three lists at the start. The other person chose their list. And after that, the game started like normal. Then you would go ahead and roll for initiative and do everything like that from there. The tournament breakdown was six Swiss rounds, I believe. Went to six Swiss rounds, and then they cut to top eight, I think, from there.
How many total players were in the tournament?
I want to say it was probably 24, give or take. 24.
That's awesome.
It might even be more of that. We might have had a couple drops, but I think it was around 24, mid-20s. So it was a good amount of people. And, I mean, obviously some really good players in the area. I know Brett Kelly was in there. DT was in there. We've had him on. They've been on the show here. Ryan Stripling was on there. He was on the show just recently. A lot of really, really good players made it in there. Morfeo from Spain was in there. He's always really good.
Isn't he the Spanish national champion?
He is, I believe, and he definitely deserves it.
Yeah.
He plays a mean game.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is this Vassal tournament is very much, I was looking at everyone on the roster, and it is very much the creme de la creme.
It's pretty stacked.
It's a great roster.
So they ran six Swiss rounds. Like I said, everybody chose three lists to take. So I chose the same thing. I chose three lists from different factions. I only ended up ever playing two of them because Rebels kind of suck a little bit, and I'm not a huge fan of those. So just give
Boom.
Kenny a little
jab. Shots fired.
no, so I took, for Imperials, I took a list with ATDP, Palpatine, two sets of jets, and then some other support stuff going from there. I think a couple officers, Rule by Fear, Zillow, and things like that. For Mercenaries, I ran my favorite IG-88 with one set of Equays and Onar, and then, you know, some Rebel stuff mixed in there to help out Hera, Gideon, and some other support stuff there. And Greedo, because Greedo is awesome, obviously. Rebels, I didn't actually end up playing this list, but I mostly took it just because I wanted to have it in case it was necessary. I took two sets of E-Rangers and, just Rebel support from there. Some maybe a Smuggler 2 and Hera, Gideon, 3PO. That was not one I planned on playing because I think they're a little boring, even though they're really good. But it was mostly in case I came up against Ikwe Hunters on Nalheda, and I didn't want to get massacred. Yeah.
Good call. So tell us about how did you do in Swiss?
Yep, Swiss went really well. I went 5-1. I lost the last Swiss match against obviously my rival because we met back up in the finals, Morfeo against Miguel. He beat me in the last round. I believe at that time we were playing on Obi-Wan's map. I think it was the last one we played on Obi-Wan's map on the Cantina there. And it was a really close game, came down to the last couple activations, and I think he had a big swing. I think he got, 24 points within like two plays. It's pretty impressive. That was one that should have been Vassal casted. I think he killed Greedo, played Price on his heads before, so that gives him an extra 4 points, and he played Celebration for a 12-point Greedo.
Oh, man.
Then went and killed IG-88 for another 12 points, all within, like, the space of an activation, I think, or something like that. It was a crazy swing. I thought I had it in the bag, too. It was so close. So that was a good game.
That's insane.
Yep.
24 points in one, and from two kills. Yep. Holy smokes.
Yep, from two kills. So that was a big swing. So that was my one match I lost in Swiss, and then they cut to top eight. In the top eight, I played some really great players. I played David Christensen, I believe. David C. Is it Christensen?
He's from Utah.
Yeah. So I played him from the channel. Got to have a good game with him. He was running. We played on Nalheda on, I want to say, I don't remember if it was Shielded or if it was Raining Freight. We didn't get a ton of objective points either way, I don't think. It is casted on Brett Kelly's Twitch channel, so if you want to watch that. But he was playing Rebels, and I chose Mercenaries. The bulk of his list was Drakata, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, Jared. It was a really good match, but some of those figures are obviously melee, and they have a really hard time on Nalheda. And coming up against, I was playing Mercenaries, so coming against IG-88 and Weak Ways and Onar and things like that with some decent range. Sure, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough matchup from the get-go before you go against all those figures. So that was a little bit rough.
I wonder why he picked that list against who had initiative, who picked first?
I believe I chose Mercenary first. I don't know. Maybe his Imperial list didn't have a lot of range either. So maybe he just figured he was trying to get there. I mean, Ahsoka can bomb in pretty far and get some damage in. Maybe he was trying to take out some figures there. I'm not really sure. I don't remember what his Imperial list is, so I'm not sure why he chose that one. But maybe just like running the Rebels. Somebody's got to rep him.
Yeah. Hey, that's right. And David's an amazingly good player.
Oh, yeah, he was
so
really
I actually
good.
Watched your game.
That was a really
He's
good
a super good player. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I don't remember too much about it. I know that Obi-Wan went down before he activated. I think IG took him out before he had gone and done much at all. I think he just moved up and got shot up. And then I remember another big swing was, if you watch that one, was IG-88 went out early second round. He actually died early second round before he got to activate. That was a pretty big swing and almost cost me pretty big. I was trying to hold him back to bait out Ahsoka to come in a little bit closer and try to kill one of my focused Ikwes. But he didn't take the bait, and he actually got off the Force Rush? Is that the two movement at the start of the activation?
Yep.
So he got off a Force Rush into her two movement points into a Force Leap for 10 movement points and finished off IG for like 5 or 6 damage or something like that and wiped him off the board. So that was rough. IG didn't get to activate round two at all. But basically from there, I ignored Ahsoka. I took out basically everything else in the list and just went from there and just left her there. I think I took a shot at her and she dodged and I was like, screw that. I'm done with that. Not messing around with that. Ahsoka anymore.
What's the point? Yeah, fair point.
So that was a great game against him on Nalheda. After that, I played. After that, on the top four, we actually had decided that we were going to play the new missions for the last two matches. So this is the Jawa map, the
Mos Eisley
back alleys. So I had not had much practice with that one at all. It's probably mostly because I'm lazy and we haven't gotten the mat yet, and that's when I get the most practice is when we get the mat and me and Mitch, my brother, can play it a bunch. But that was not one I was practiced against, so these were a couple rough matches. But I played Ryan Janway first in the top four. He was running I don't actually remember which of us got initiative for choosing lists. It might have been me choosing Mercs again, but it could have been him too. I don't remember that way. But either way, I ended up on Mercenaries again. He ended up with Imperials. He was playing BT, Elite Heavies, two sets of Elite Jets, and Palpatine, with some other support stuff mixed in there. So an interesting list. you don't see a ton of BT, you don't see a ton of E-heavies either, so I thought that was a good matchup. It came down, it was a really close match. I think it came down to the last little bit, maybe, I think it was 30. He was definitely in the 30s when I won, so that was a really close match.
Did he have a targeting computer on the heavies?
He did not. I don't believe he had targeting computer on the heavies, which hurts him a little bit. But I do remember he did not have targeting computer on the heavies, but he did manage to get off a great round one. What's the card in Han's pack that focuses two units?
Oh, Inspiring Speech.
Oh, yes. His officer played a round one Inspiring Speech on both heavies, and they both came in and just did damage. That was pretty painful. I got the last activation there. I think IG went in and did some damage and then was able to clean up a little bit. But it really, man, it came down to the last little bit with a few of my Equays left, and I think Hera, and down to his last few units too. So that was a really good match as well.
And Ryan, he's the one who they have the Tauntaun Rider podcast, right?
Ryan Janway? Oh, I'm not sure. I haven't seen that one come up in a while. I know that I do remember the Tauntaun podcast, but I'm not sure who's on it. I'll have to ask him next time I play him. Yeah.
There we go.
I'll ask him in the Slack.
There you go.
And he was playing Palp as well, which anybody who's played against Palp knows how freaking devastating that guy can be. Just throwing Palp around
murder stuff.
I was playing not on the tournament, but I played DT the other day, and I think Palp took out 3 or 4 Riot Troopers in his activation with all of his different abilities. He just got so many different things going on. It's such a fun character to play. So that was a good match.
And so much free stuff. Yeah. Free unmitigated.
Oh, yes. Just awesome. Nothing you can do about it. And especially with some of the figures that have extra defense, like IG or Vader and things like that, that free damage is so good. And you think about it combined with Jets, with their free damage from Grenadier and Overrun, it just gets ridiculous sometimes.
Amazing.
So that was a great match. That was on the, like I said, on the Jawa map. So the finals was against the Jawa. Came back against my nemesis who kicked my butt in Swiss rounds. Morfeo here against Miguel. He got initiative and ended up choosing his mercenary list. And like I said, since I don't play a ton of Rebels, I went with my Imperial list, which I'd been a bit rusty with and had not been able to play since I think like the 4th round or 3rd round or something like that. I hadn't played it. So it was a little bit rough. My list again was the ATDP list with Palp and some Jets. So it started off pretty rough there. I scooted up the ATDP a little bit too far, miscalculated on a line of sight that I thought I was going to have, and basically just the ATDP got wiped off the board. It probably took 4 or 5 attacks and then got wiped off the board, and the rest of the game I was having to claw myself from the back from that. I had a pretty big swing in round 2 where I was able to get off a overrun from the Jets and then a provoke on his C-3PO, which let me go with my one set of elite Jets and then Palpatine as well, and just do a ton of damage all in a row. And that was one big swing for me. Oh man, I love that card so much.
Robert, tell us about what does provoke do?
So provoke lets you, you use it after any of your figures activate. It has to be, the figure you use it on has to be a trooper guardian, but they do not have to be the ones that just activated. So you can use it after anybody activates. But basically what it does is you choose an adjacent figure to one of your troopers or guardians, and then you force that figure, if they can, to activate next. So it's really, really good with some of the support figures that people play right now. And C-3PO is so popular. He's in every list that anybody who can fit C-3PO in plays C-3PO. And so if during the 2nd or 3rd round, when figures are trying to use all of your high value figures before they get wiped off the board, if you can force an opponent to come in and use 3PO in the middle of a round when they want to go with their Equays or they want to go with IG-88, it can be a huge tempo swing.
Because then instead of being able to do their high value target, what you do is you make them activate C-3PO and then you go kill whoever they wanted to go activate.
And you can go wipe some units off the board before they go. And so that's what happened with me. I think I was able to kill, from that I was able to kill Hera, an Equay, and do a bunch of damage to BT, who had already activated. And I think I also killed a Jawa from it too. So it's a pretty big swing, at least 3 figures down, plus a bunch of damage on another figure. And so all of that just combined for a big swing there. And after that, it was pretty much a brawl, just both of us going back and forth. I got a nice call to Vanguard off on BT at the beginning of round 3 to to finish off BT, and I was able to use Element of Surprise with that. Unfortunately, you can't do that anymore because they've ruled against that now, but the old ruling did allow us to do that. So yeah. That was a really good match, came down really close. I think after BT died, then he went and tried to, I think he went with, I don't remember who he went with after that, but he went with someone and tried to take out a Ikwe. No, he went with someone and tried to take out one of my Jets with an Ikwe, I think. And he rolled and had just not enough to finish off an Ikwe, or to finish off a Jet, and re-rolled. And I played tough luck on the re-roll. So the Jet survived with like one health. So I was able to activate two Jets in a row. And they went. He had two Elite Ikwes that had one health left. They had five health remaining. Or not one health left. They had one damage taken, and they had five health remaining. Both of my Jets came up big in a row and rolled five damage to kill both Ikwes. One of them played on the lamb and got away, but the other one died. And the one that died was the one that hadn't activated yet, so that was a pretty big swing. And after that,
that's huge.
We called it there, yeah. My Jets had been a little bit weak on the attack previously. I think I rolled at least one triple surge and maybe one other roll that did like one damage or something like that. But in a tight spot there, they came up big.
Yeah, I was watching the game, and it was the case at the beginning. You had a couple flub rolls against his, like, three block or
and,
whatever.
So and a couple like flub plays. Damage.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure. But, yeah. The dice definitely were – they went from not breaking your way to breaking your way.
Yeah,
but obviously
sure.
You knew how to play it in order to capitalize in order to capitalize on the swing. So
that was a really close game as well. And, man, hats off to him. Like I said, he's a really, really good player. And anytime you get to play him, it's going to be great practice. Great practice for whatever you're going up against.
I'm going to say I would encourage everybody who's got access to Twitch to watch Brett Kelly's stream of the game, because it was an incredible game. I feel like, and Brett's awesome because he called out a few times where, your ATV positioning might have been a little off or whatever. But he also, I mean, there was a few things Morph did where Brett's just really good at pointing out things that like, he might be thinking about doing this, but it probably would have been better to do this. It's so great to watch like two great players play a game and see what mistakes they make, but really when they know how to capitalize.
Oh, yeah,
it was
sure.
a great match to watch.
Yeah, he does a great job casting. I've listened to all of his. One thing I really want to get is some way for him to be able to see the command cards. I just think that would give him a lot more insight, because sometimes it's really hard to see what's happening. I know specifically I listened to his, and at the beginning of round two, he's wondering, I think, why I activated some Jets instead of Palpatine before Palpatine dies and stuff like that, and it would be a lot easier for him to cast it and understand some of the what's going on if he knew that Provoke was in my hand or whatever it ends up being.
Yep.
I think there's a lot
absolutely.
That, I don't know, we got to figure out some way that can happen where he can actually see our command cards. That'd be real nice.
Well, figure it out.
He's doing some, he's got to set up some casting games, get some notoriety so he can cast worlds for us.
That's right. We're going to do it. FFG, you won't nerf the Ugnaught. You better let Brett cast or so help me.
Yep. So that was the tournament. I played a bunch of great players. It was really a ton of fun. I always love playing IA, so any chance I can get to is great. It was interesting not playing a bunch of mirror matches. I don't know if some lists fare better because of that than others, but I don't know. Had a good time doing it for sure.
I wonder about in terms of lists faring against each other, like how Vader would do against Trooper Swarm.
Oh yeah, Vader.
You're not gonna see that, but it'd be interesting. I wonder like how that matchup shakes out.
Yeah, in my mind, I think, man, troopers have such a hard time doing damage to Vader. I just feel like, it's just almost impossible for them to take him out. Even Elite Riots and Elite Jets, just even if they get some unmitigated damage off, it's still really hard for them to finish him off because their regular attacks against him, even the flybys, are not doing that much. They're doing, one, two, something like that. If they're lucky, sometimes they're doing attacks and getting zeros, no problem at all. Vader just shrugs them off.
I would say most of the time, if I'm attacking with a Jet without access to rerolls, you should plan on doing like one damage.
I'd be happy with two. If I get two damage, I would be a happy camper with a Jet on Vader.
You bet.
Especially because he gets that reroll. It's just so good. I think they have a really hard time killing Vader, but I don't know that swings the matchup too much in his favor. I really think that most maps they can capitalize on other figures and kind of ignore Vader.
Yeah.
I think that it's an interesting matchup. I don't think that if you're running a trooper swarm, you should try to take down Vader. Unless maybe I just don't think, unless you're running maybe Palpatine and you can get a couple Force Lightnings off or something like that. It just seems, I don't know, it seems like it would be a bad idea to try to take down Vader with a trooper swarm. You'd be wasting too much time trying to do that and not focusing on other figures and objectives.
Yeah, meanwhile, you just got to go for the jets.
The Vader player has 27 other points that are, you know, actually doing damage to your figures as opposed to rolling ones and twos.
Yeah, it's a great point. It is interesting. So DT, I think he talked about this when he did his regional recap, where he played against a Vader player, and I think the way he was able to edge him out was just by getting free damage on Vader, like with Grenadier and things like that. Yeah. And otherwise, I don't think he really worried about him too much and just was focusing on taking out. I mean, realistically, the backbone of each of those Imperial lists is the jets.
Oh,
I
man.
I mean, they provide the mobility and all the damage. So unit. That's what you got to kill.
They're such a good unit. I mean, I know everybody loves weak ways and they've been hot for so long, but man, the jets, they just have so much utility and their command cards are so good. The biggest issue they have is that they can be really swingy. With their dice, I mean, you can see it in the games that I played. Sometimes, say, you can roll that triple surge and you're just hating life at that point. You get through a damage or two damage on, you know, an easy to kill figure. And sometimes you hit, you know, five or six. You get real lucky. I mean, that's any figure. I just feel like the double blue die on the jets makes that a little bit more swingy.
I completely agree. Completely agree. I mean, that's why I think everyone says they're so good for cleanup. But you need some way either to either deal damage or put pressure on the board.
Oh yeah,
and
for sure.
And so then, like, as your opponent overextends, you can use your jets to clean up.
Yep, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons the unmitigated damage is so good, is because you can start off getting damage with Grenadier, Overrun, and things like that, and then use them to clean up other figures. I think they're really good.
Absolutely.
And they're great at cleaning up after Palpatine too.
So tell us about you won the tournament because you're amazing and awesome. What was what were the dominant lists? What was giving everyone the hardest time? You know, just give us some thoughts on what the meta was like for the tournament.
I think it's really hard to say just because of the way the tournament was run, because it wasn't one list. It wasn't something. I mean, I played two lists the whole tournament, so I don't really know. If people are using all their different lists, it's hard to say what was dominant. I think there's some obviously dominant things in the meta right now. I think Vader, Palp, E-Jets is all really strong. All of those units are strong. And E-Riots, obviously, those have come into the spotlight a little bit recently. So you can make strong lists with any combination of those. I think that, you know, Hunters are going to be good for a long time. I can't see them going anywhere. So IG-88, Equus, all really strong units. Mercenaries have access to some of the best upgrades in the game. I mean, Devious and Black Market are just so good. So that's really strong. And then, you know, Rebels have a lot of core figures that they can build around now. I think it's really cool. You know, they've still got Luke, which has seemed to drop out of popularity, but I think he's still really good. Definitely playable for sure. Maybe not as good as Han now, but definitely still playable. We've got Han, who is everywhere, especially in Europe. I mean, you just talked about the you see some of the Europe metas, and they've got like 70% or 80% lists running Han and Rangers and things like that. So that's crazy, I think. And then I mean, just a lot of figures you can build around Dracotta too. We were just talking about Dracotta and how good she is before we started the podcast.
Yeah, was anyone running Ugnaughts?
I did not play a single Ugnaught list. I'm not sure if that's just because I didn't happen to come up against somebody running those, or because nobody really felt like running those at the time. It was kind of nice, because I think the one problem with running Ugnaughts in a tournament like this is that if you happen to choose to play Ugnaughts and they have a list that's decent against it and their other two lists, like if they've got Vader, then you might be SOL before the game starts or something like that. But I didn't play against Ugnaughts at all. I don't even think I saw an Ugnaught. I didn't go through the list, everybody's list, but I don't even think I saw one. I didn't see very many E-Sentries either. I played a couple good friends early, and I saw a few sets of Sentries, but not very many Sentries either compared to what other people have been playing.
I wonder if that's because the list, I think it's won two regionals. Ryan Stripling talked about it, was the Iggy and two E-Sentries. I mean, that's been recently, so maybe it's just hasn't quite caught on.
No one wants to play him because DT's down on him.
Oh, he is? Oh, yeah, exactly. That's right. But Paul loves him. Paul Heaver loves him.
Oh, my gosh.
I trust Paul.
It's,
so.
He loves that Pierce, man. I don't even want to get into that.
I know. We had a long running. This is why everyone should join us on the Slack channel. We had a long running chat about that. But the thing is, I mean, I don't want to get off on this tangent too much. But the thing about East Entries that I think is so interesting is because I feel like they're a unit kind of like Elite Riots, where you look at them and you say, I can see a strength that they have, but I just don't think, for whatever reason, I'm not going to take it. And then you see something that somebody does where they take Elite Sentries with IG or Vader like Paul did.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I get it now. Now I get why they're awesome, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, like Elite Riots, it's like, oh, what are they going to do, right? They're not going to get into the fray. They're just going to get killed, blah, blah, blah. But then you're like, oh, well, you pair two sets of them with two sets of Elite Jets and whatever else. And all of a sudden you've got a serious Trooper Swarm on the board. And so it just takes like someone kind of like clicking that a little bit to get it figured out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think honestly, the meta is in such a good place right now. I mean, I haven't played since beginning, so I missed the 4x4 days. But the meta is just in such a diverse play right now. You could take any faction you want. I mean, if you're taking the faction, there's going to be a couple units you obviously probably want to have in your list that are standouts. But you can just really bring a lot of different things right now, and I think that's awesome. I'm excited to see what we get next. I'm waiting for that Boba fix so I can bring Boba and IG-88 together.
Oh, man. perish the thought. Well, that's awesome. Is there any other thoughts, comments on the meta, just like where everything's at in terms of strategies, like anything that you were able to glean from the tournament, anything like that you want to talk about?
Not anything particular. I can't wait till Nalhutta goes away. That's nice. I love Jabba's Palace. I think that's one of the best maps that I've played probably since I played Imperial Assault. So I wish that one was sticking around a little bit longer. But I don't have nothing in particular now.
I want to ask. Let me ask you one question. You're playing your if you're playing your scum list.
Yeah, sure.
Did you run into a Trooper Swarm, like any kind of like a serious Trooper Swarm?
Oh, I ran into Troopers. I believe in round one or two.
Okay.
Against a guy that I know here in Houston. He's actually the one that won the one or got second at the regional here in Houston. Really good player. Okay. He was playing East Sentries, I think, with Troopers, and that was an interesting matchup there. The Hunters do okay against them. I mean, obviously, I think you got to focus on the Jets whenever running that. I think he also had East Sentries too. So my first targets there were taking out those East Sentries, and then from there, I think I went for Jets.
Yeah. Okay. So is the method of contesting their objective control just kill Jets? I mean, just what it always is, Jets.
Yeah. Those Jets get in close and can get off some of their good command cards, you're in a heap of hurt. I mean, we just talked about how much of a swing that can be. So I think you just got to make sure. Focus on the Jets. Focus on – I think focusing on Riots is a bad idea. They've got that extra block. They're hardy figures. And anybody that's running Elite Riots is probably running two copies of Reinforcements. So honestly, it's just futile to take them out. You just leave them on the board and focus on everybody else until you have to kill somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, if it's your only target, then go for
it. Oh, yeah, otherwise, don't you know, not take a shot, but don't focus on killing Riots, especially if they haven't played Reinforcements yet.
Yeah, do not make a winning strategy out of killing Riots, that's for sure. Well, that's awesome, Robert. Well, we're glad you did so well. Obviously, I ascribe your success to my expert tutelage on the Slack channel and telling you about how good Rebels are.
And how good IG-88
is. I'm sad that you have...
Bringing me to the truth about that.
You know, the interesting thing is, so if listeners remember, Robert came on the channel, what was that, 2 months ago-ish?
Yeah, just about.
When you blew our mind about IG. That was right after regional, that's right. And so at the time, there was still a lot of local players here in Utah playing Scum Hunters, but no one was playing IG. Then Robert came on the podcast, and then everyone wanted to run IG.
Dude, he's where it's at, man. I mean, the problem against running IG is you just basically have to pray that they don't draw Blaze of Glory in their opening hand, because if they do, that can be the end of the game before anything started. I mean, it's kind of like Luke when he draws Son of Skywalker early. I mean, you can lose two or three figures and have no recourse at all. Nothing you can do about it except just, you know, maybe cry a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And especially when it's paired with a Devious Scheme. Like, that's the real problem, is that IG realistically has got two chances to draw Blaze of Glory, right? Because if you get it in your opening hand, okay, then you'll win. But you can also get it at the start of round two, right? And at that point, you know, it's just IG is just going to go on such a murder fest that by the time they're able to respond, it's like they've lost four or five figures, game's over.
You can easily get 5 3-dice attacks off with him before your opponent's able to do anything. That's just ridiculous. And then he's not even dead. Then he still has, you know, 15 health with an extra block that you have to deal with.
Yeah, IG, he is very, very, very solid. Robert definitely opened our minds to that truth. But you know what, though? When I went down to SoCal, I didn't play against a single IG. Their IG was nowhere to be found.
Oh, that's so
sad.
I mean,
it wasn't a super large tournament, but there was a lot of Imperial. I did play against one guy who was running Scum Hunters, but nobody that I saw was running IG.
Yeah.
So
I can see that. He's a little bit, he's not old, but he's a little bit older now compared to, you know, some of the new Imperial stuff, new Rebel stuff. So yeah. I can imagine a lot of people run around that stuff while it's still shiny.
Sure. I totally get that. Well, thank you, Robert. We are glad you did so well. Do you have any other thoughts, comments for us?
Not at all. Thanks for having me on the podcast. You know, I just encourage everybody to jump out on Vassal. I know we're taking a couple breaks for Chris said we're going to take a few weeks break before the next tournament gets announced and up and running. But, man, come out for it. It's a ton of fun, really enjoyable, and there's some great players. You can learn a lot from playing.
I am going to absolutely second that. We're going to be pushing that as we get news about it, because I really think that for people who, it's not even if you want to be the best, but if you just want to improve and play IA games, it sucks a little bit when you play against someone like Robert or DT or Brett and you just kind of get, you know, it handed to you because, you know, they've just played a lot.
Yeah.
But it's such a good learning experience in terms of saying, okay, I've learned that I can't position this figure this way because then they can do this.
Yep.
Right. And so, and you want to play against good players in order to understand like what can IG do?
Oh yeah.
You're not going to know that by just like dinking around.
Yeah. So. And when you see what positioning and things like that gets punished by other players, you're going to be able to know next time, hey, that's exactly not what I want to do. That was a mistake last time. Let's not repeat that. So I think, yeah, it's a great opportunity to learn, and you know, everybody has a good time. If you haven't played on Vassal before, anybody would be happy to walk you through a game. It's really intuitive. It's not hard to do at all. It doesn't cost anything, so except a little bit of time.
Absolutely. That's right. Perfect. All right. Well, we want to thank you, Robert, for coming on. We want to thank everyone for listening.
All right. Have a good one.